From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we move into the Easter Triduum with Holy Thursday, the Last Supper, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and of course, Easter Sunday, the glory and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Indeed, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we are glad to welcome in Kathy Dickey from St. Clair Parish in Roseville. Kathy, good day to you.
Hi, Bob.
Appreciate you taking the time to be with us. A very busy and very holy time on our church calendar, and so much happening. You are a volunteer here in the diocese for Catholics, the ministry for Catholics with disabilities, specifically the sensory friendly mass. Explain how you got involved in this.
Well, I have two children with disabilities, mm-hmm. and a number of years ago, maybe 2017, I'd read about a sensory-friendly mass that another parish had done, and I don't know, it was Cincinnati or something, and I thought that'd be a wonderful thing for my son, David, he's almost 19. I hadn't taken him to mass in about 13 years mm-hmm. because it just became difficult, and so this mass, it's has lower lighting, softer music, a brief literal homily that includes visual aids when possible, the shorter mass, or not singing every verse of every song and that sort of thing. And so it's easier for him to participate and, you know, be back in the church and celebrating the mass.
So who designs the sensory mass?
Well, our committee has been working on it, modeled on things that other parishes have done and, you know, other parts of the country. And so Anna Barraza, I think you've met her.
Right.
She and I and our ministry have done it.
And one size clearly doesn't fit all. How do you deal with that? We're dealing, I presume, with a wide range of disabilities and things that would be helpful at Mass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just make sure that people know, that families know that they are welcome, that if anybody has, if there's any outburst or, you know, loud noises from someone, that's you know, perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. Everybody's welcome. They can kind of be seated where they want to sit. We don't have like a bell ringing at the beginning of Mass that can be disconcerting for some. And so we've been trying to reach out to parishioners and families as well to see what types of things we can include in the sensory-friendly Mass to make it even more welcoming and supportive.
Are you seeing the fruit of your labor? Is this being helpful, or is, you know, are you sort of molding it as you go along?
We've gotten a lot of positive response. We've had, I think, three kind of around the diocese. Two of them were at St. Clair, mm-hmm. and one that was at St. John the Evangelist, I believe, in February. A lot of families were very excited about having more masses in more parishes around the diocese so that their families can participate more often.
Right now it happens how often?
Well, we've had three in the diocese total, but Father George at St. Clair has committed to starting to have a monthly sensory-friendly Mass at St. Clair, which was my goal originally. So it's very exciting that that's going to start happening.
And welcome, obviously, anybody anywhere in the parish is welcome. In the diocese is welcome.
Absolutely, yes. And we have been going around kind of different parts of the diocese, hoping that we can spread the word, kind of model how it's done, so other parishes can begin to get their own going on a more regular basis.
Is there, I think demand's probably the wrong word, but are we dealing with a large enough number within a parish to have a regular mass, you know, in a number of parishes? Or is it by necessity you're having it in one place and hoping as many people can come?
I believe that the demand is high enough for more parishes to do it for sure. I think right now, like, not a lot of people are aware of it, but we've had, you know, probably upwards of 30 families participating. Mm. So I think so. And it can also, this mass can also be valuable for parishioners and caregivers who are, have dementia, Alzheimer's.
Right.
Like those people and their caregivers might benefit from this because at, you know, shorter, not as loud music and dimmer lighting and that sort of thing. So that can be beneficial as well.
I can imagine, and speaking for yourself, of course, but also for many others, that there must be a real feeling of joy to be able to take your son to Mass.
Absolutely. We, you know, we used to attend as a family years ago, and when David, my middle son, he has Down syndrome and autism. When he mm-hmm. was around six, it became difficult to keep him at Mass. And my younger son at the time was being diagnosed with autism, and I was very overwhelmed. And so I decided for the next year or so, my husband stayed home with the boys, and I just brought my daughter. My husband grew up Catholic, but is not actually Catholic. His mom was. And so, and then he, my husband's just been home this whole time, you know, the past 13 years or so. Yeah, so this is just wonderful to feel like we can go as a family again. Not that, you know, these, our families aren't welcome in our churches, of course, but it just, it's difficult to have a child who makes loud outbursts and not everybody might understand. And yeah, so it's been a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, I know that... The I know we had four kids in 3 years, and when they were very little, it was hard because we felt like our children, as they were just being 3, 2, 1, and 0, you know, were disturbing other people. And I know they have the cry room. I feel like you're almost in prison in the cry room, you know. And believe it or not, I mean, it's sort of like the numbers of cry. We've tried a number of cry rooms at the time, and it was like it was almost like anything goes in the cry room, to the point where. Yeah, we're just here. Bring out the comic books and the Cheetos.
And, you know, and, the snacks.
Yeah, yeah. Snacks. And we'll just all sit here and we'll put in an hour and then we'll leave, you know. And it wasn't that we were being robbed or something, but we felt like we weren't really participating the way we wanted to participate. And yet mm-hmm. we wanted our kids to have, even at that age, you know, have that experience of going to Mass on Sunday morning, and this is what we do, and this is, you mm-hmm. know, I had that experience as a child, and so many of us did, and sometimes when maybe you fall away a little bit or just have a crisis, you remember that, and it brings you back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So... What are the biggest difficulties you have in putting this together?
Spreading the word. So thank you for helping with that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's not super difficult. You know, we just prepare the readings and things like you normally would. We've helped sometimes with if the priest needs like visual aids for the homily to make the homily more visual. You know. And literal for the younger ones, that's helpful. And we've had some at St. Clair and actually at St. John the Evangelist, we had some people with disabilities participating in the Mass, doing a reading or, mm-hmm. you know, bringing up the offering and that sort of thing. So that's been good. We've had just a little bit of, you know, quick hospitality afterward, handing out cookies and, you know, chatting and kind of networking outside in the narthex afterward. So it's really, I think spreading the word is the hardest part.
How much training, I guess, is the word, would the priest or a deacon or, you know, altar servers, would they need prior to officiating or participating or celebrating a sensory-friendly Mass?
Not a lot, I would say. It's kind of learn as you go. We mm-hmm. we kind of give tips to the priests and whoever might be helping out, ushers and things like that. We kind of chat with the families ahead of time to see if anybody might need a gluten-free host. We make sure the priest knows you know, I kind of had the standard of about a 3-minute homily just to kind of, you know, get the point of the homily across, of course, but for it not to be too long and overwhelming. So it's pretty easy to jump in and embrace it and make it happen.
Wow. And do you have them on a regular schedule yet or not?
Not yet. Mm-mm. We've had 3 in the diocese so far.
And so is there one scheduled in the future?
I believe, I don't have this in stone yet, but I believe after Easter, in April, maybe May latest at St. Clair, we're going to start having them monthly.
Very good. Very good.
And then we'll continue to work on other ones throughout the diocese and just to spread the word.
I know you had a gathering here at the Pastoral Center in the diocese about a week or so ago. Describe how that went and what, you know, what the issues were there that you're talking about.
Sure. Yeah. Last Saturday our annual kind of autism information and support seminar, I guess you'd say. Mm-hmm. There was a speaker from Warmline and a speaker from the UC Davis Mind Institute, kind of giving, can be families, catechists, and other, whoever else is interested. There was a deacon there from Yuba City, just information about autism and support for families and kind of what families deal with when they get a diagnosis and how that can affect the whole family. And, you know, the things that they spread the word about the things that we've been working on to make, you know, our parishes more welcoming and supportive.
Yeah, our family's familiar with the Mind Institute, and they do a lot of, I think, wonderful things there. What did they emphasize, the people from the UC Davis Mind Institute?
The woman who spoke, we had her as a speaker last year, too. She has children with autism, and so she kind of, part of it was speaking about her own experience and you know, tips for when you, even from everything from getting the diagnosis to dealing with the school system and things like that. It was kind of a general on Saturday.
Wow. So hopefully you'll keep us posted. We would love to make the announcements to when and where and, you know, what's necessary. Is there any special instruction for parents or, you know, a resource line they can contact to find out more?
There is information on the Sacramento Diocese website. Mm-hmm. Under, if you click on ministries and look for Catholics with Disabilities, you can find contact information and more information there. And then also, I know I have the date of November. I know it's a while, but November 17th at 3 p.m. at St. Lawrence in North Highlands.
Okay.
There'll be their first sensory-friendly mass.
What's the date of that again?
November 17th.
Okay.
At 3 p.m. at St. Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And these are all Sundays, I presume?
Yes.
Very good. I will put that on my calendar. And
great.
Hope to be able to attend. And if
that would be wonderful.
If there are any earlier than that or before the, you know, before then, if you'll let us know, we'll be happy to get it out and get the word out as best we can. Kathy,
wonderful.
I appreciate
you so much.
You taking the time to be with us, and God bless you and your family and everybody at Easter and throughout the year. And we'll look forward to our paths crossing again.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Bob, and happy Easter.
Thanks so much, Kathy. That's Kathy Dickey from St. Clair Parish in Roseville, and we're talking about the sensory-friendly mass. Yeah, go to scd.org, Sacramento Catholic Diocese.org, and look up ministries and the Ministry for Catholics with Disabilities. It's really, really important work that they are doing, and I know that, and we've probably all known or had family members that it was really difficult for them to go to Mass. And in some cases, you just stopped going. And this is a way to allow not just the people involved at any age, but also their families or their caregivers, real important for their caregivers as well. Frequently, the family is the caregiver, or it's a combination. But for the caregivers to be able to go as well. So this is a really good stuff, but really powerful stuff, and it's what our faith is all about. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. The Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
This is Yasmin Castellanos from the Catholic School Department, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Yasmin, for that wonderful introduction and for all the great work you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, we are pleased to go out to Roseville, to St. Clair Parish, and we're welcoming in the pastor, Father George Snyder. Father, good day to you.
Yes, good evening, Bob, and to all our listeners. A blessed Holy Week to all.
Yes, indeed. You know, I'm always struck. You know, the right at this time of year, we hear about March Madness and all the basketball and all that stuff going on, and I go, well, we got something going on in March, especially March this year, because Easter is the last day of March, but it's not madness. It's what this world's all about. I guess we don't need a different day, but I want to counter. I like the March Madness, but we want to counter that. You know, we're all that madness going on. We got gladness. How about March gladness?
Yes. Well, the Easter season and the Triduum is a great blessing for us to participate into. That's one of my favorites event of the liturgical year.
Indeed. Father, I looked at the St. Clair Facebook page and saw a video of Palm Sunday. Oh my goodness.
Yes, isn't that,
oh, how marvelous.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. You didn't just have, you know, little strands of palm. You had whole branches and everybody had one. And
yes, that's about.
I got tears in my eyes.
I was 6,500 people. That's over like 1,000 for the big two masses, and the 9:30 and 11:30, over 1,000 overflowing, and 800 on people, prisoners at the other masses. So it's a big celebration. That's really a sign of active participation of our parishioners for this Holy Week. Last night is our penance service. Mm-hmm. Over 1,000 people showed up for confession, and we have 24 priests.
24? Wow.
24 priests, yes. Each priest have their 3.5 hours each.
Boy, well, the communal confession, if you will, really powerful, I think. I think just very,
yes,
very powerful.
This is individual.
Yeah,
individual.
Okay. Sure, people. They're individual. Yes, yes. It's not a universal absolution. It was
No. That's we don't. Yeah. This is we started with the rite of reconciliation,
right,
which is called communal, and readings and proclamation of the gospel, and of course the homilist last night, Father John Ball, on the Good Shepherd, and also have the examination of conscience, and I introduced 24 priests in 24 stations.
Mm-hmm.
Started at 6:30, we finished at 9:15.
Wow.
P.M.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went when I went to the whatever. What's the whole title for it? Because the just a reconciliation.
Yeah, the communal reconciliation service.
Right, and then the individual confessions afterwards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And Father John Bull baptized my first two children.
It's amazing. I said, Father, take over the gospel, because it's overwhelming. You know, we have hundreds of volunteers to help individual people, and we have, of course, different languages for the sacrament of reconciliation. We have Indian, Spanish, Filipino, of course, English, and even Gaelic, if that's
really
the need. So everyone was, yes.
Anybody still speaking Gaelic, other than some of these Irish priests?
I was kidding, because most of our priests are retired Irish.
Right,
so I said,
right,
if you speak Gaelic, they're here. Anyway, it just add to some sort of a little joyful,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, I
way
would. I would love to sit down with one of them and hear them say a few words in Gaelic. That would be wow. what a treat.
Yeah, so we have multicultural faces. All are welcome, and it's a beautiful community that is all in love with the Lord.
Yes,
in love with Jesus.
Very. I've always said to you, I think you need a golf carts to get people in from the far reaches of your parking lot.
We do have that golf carts this Easter.
Oh, good.
We have volunteers to help people, because we have a very good problem to have. We're running out of space.
Yeah.
Yes, we're running out of space. It's a wonderful community. It's very inspiring. Very inspiring, Bob. I'm very inspired. You have to
how
see
long
all
have
the
you been there, Father?
Yes, so I'm here. I finished my 6 years of first assignment, and Bishop Soto extended me for another term.
Okay.
So this is now my second term, my first year of second term, so going on 7 year.
And it's a 6-year term again?
Yes. Yes,
I'm sure many parishioners are very happy about that.
Yes, indeed, because, you know, actually, you get to know them the first 3 years is getting to know the community, and we got hit by this pandemic, so we, you know, that really is a big blow to continue on what you started, so almost like 2 years before we kind of get back to the normal flow again. Now
right,
we're back, and it's just a great time for me to again begin all what I have started before the pandemic.
How long do you feel it took before your mass attendance, for want of a better standard, was back to where it was pre-pandemic?
Yeah, it took a while, but like I said, I would say when they start opening the church, it started gradually with reservation only. That's kind of just the worst thing, at reservation only. Remember that. And then we only have limited space. I have never have imagined this would be the case of reservation only, seriously. Yes. So it started with that, and people got programmed to that. But we live stream our masses.
Right.
We live stream our masses, and people are pretty supportive, and they're outside live streaming, and then I go out to give communion at the communion time.
I remember
they're in the parking lot.
The very first mass that we watched as a family in our living room that was live streamed, and there was nobody in the church, Father Ray Bercival, when he was at St. James in Davis, and I was so struck when he was giving his homily, when he was at any stage of the Mass, you felt like he was talking to a full church. And I thought, how difficult that must have been to...
It was very awkward. I mean, talking like you're pretending people are in front of you there. Right. It's not the same.
No,
it's not the same when you are seeing faces and children, men and women in front of you,
right,
a full church versus that you're just talking there and hoping that they're all watching you live stream in some way. It's just not the same.
Yeah.
But now we're back to the full capacity, and it's growing in huge numbers. And we have over 35 different ministries that are well-structured, and then every month we have a welcoming committee that welcomes all the new parishioners, and I'm part of that to welcome them and to have some activities to get to know them, to introduce to them all the life of the parish. We have a beautiful display of different ministries that people could look at and discern what they will fit in, or if they need more time for discernment, that's fine. But we welcome new parishioners every month, and I have a binder to also follow up afterwards to give them a call, how they're doing, and also reaching out if there's any. We have a folder that caters to any needs, of course, for registration or any sacraments that they need for the children, or maybe. At times I'll say, I asked him how long you've been married, and said, yeah, so a church. And of course, sometimes they'll say, well, we're not married in the church. That's an opportunity to offer the blessing, the marriage. Yeah, so that's all the way how we kind of reach out to them and make them easy for them and not give them, I told them, we will not make this too difficult for you. Let's start the process. So I'm directly involved with that, and I do that also when I do house blessing.
That's a great way to approach it, because I think people are hesitant sometimes to say that. Say, well, we weren't married in the church, or
Yes, but I don't, not in a non-judgmental way. When I visit homes of new parishioners, I have a folder, a prayer. We pray together. I bless the house, bless the family. And of course, they introduce themselves. We have a little good talk. We pray together. And sometimes I do enthronement of the Sacred Heart and consecrate the family.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, invite them. I don't ask, are you married in the church or not? No.
Right.
I just say, how long you've been married? Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations. And I said, what church?
Right.
Of course, and that's the kind of a nice way to say what church. I say, Father, not yet in the church. We're married by the justice of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I will always encourage them and work with them. I said, I'm here to work with you. I'm not here to make things complicated. I explained to them and how would the process would work. And, it's a blessing really, that we have done so many blessing of marriages. Well, of course, they have to go to the process of,
sure,
formal way. If there's any impediments, we have to deal with that,
right?
Well,
absolutely.
So,
but
for most part, it's mostly, well, we're not ready yet, Father. And I said, you don't need to spend so much money and prepare and wait. We can do it. And I would always encourage them, don't make this too big.
Yeah.
Let's get the marriage. At times you already have children. And I always, offer a good advice that will help the couples and the family to get the sacramental blessing of the mm-hmm. marriage.
So the newcomers to the parish, are they by and large new to the Roseville area, or?
Yes, we have thousands of housing being built around St. Clair's.
Yeah.
And most of them are coming from other states and mainly Bay Area. And we have over 6,000 registered parishioner now. It's still growing.
Wow. So if a family registers, does that count as a one, or do you have or a six if there's six in the family?
A family. The registration is just counted as a family.
Uh-huh.
One family collectively, of course, that would be and then we have, of course, the number of children and household is all in our database.
Right.
But the registration is families, 6,000, over 6,000 families.
6,000 families. So in reality, that could be 20,000.
Yes. But I would say, minimum of three per family,
yeah.
Three to four.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That's
so.
Do you need a bigger church?
Yes, we do. Like this Easter masses will have two places simultaneously that will be celebrating mass live.
Really?
Two priests will go on together.
One be in
at the
hall?
Same time. Yeah. Yes, at all masses.
Wow. My goodness.
Yes. And that will still not be enough. It really breaks my heart when people are standing outside,
sure,
or some people will just have to. We try to accommodate everyone as much as possible. But of course, sometimes it's not easy. The the ones that will come early will get the seats, and we have lots of volunteers to help accommodate, especially the elderly, to have a secure place to sit down and hear the Mass.
You may have to put a big tent over that parking lot, like Billy Graham used to do.
Yes, and we're growing, and of course, it's not easy to build another church in the area. This is easy. So we're starting to look into building a multi-purpose building that will hold 1,000 people.
Hmm. What's your capacity now in the church?
It's about 1,000.
About 1,000.
Mm-hmm, yes. And then the Morris Center sits with chairs about 700.
That many? I've been in there a number of times. Well, I've been in both, but...
Yes. We need a multi-purpose building that will sit 1,000 people.
Do you have the
right,
land
to accommodate?
We do,
yes. So I'm going to really work hard to get that accomplished in my next term.
That involves
that's
a lot, doesn't it, including fundraising?
Of course, yes, but I'm very positive and very hopeful that this is a need for us, and many will support us with this endeavors.
I'm sure that's the case. So you have 35 separate ministries?
35, yes.
Can you highlight a couple of those that...
There are different segments. Okay, we have the liturgy aspect of ministries. We have the volunteers for religious education program. Okay. And then the big chunk of that is social concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Social concerns. The biggest ministry of the parish of St. Clair is social concerns, and not counting St. Vincent de Paul.
Right.
So there's the gathering in which we welcome the people that are in need of shelter and, in a structured way. And the distribution of goods constantly, almost every month, And the biggest distributions of goods are Thanksgiving for hundreds of families in the community with Thanksgiving dinners, and then Christmas, and over 1,000 gifts for children that is wrapped for the giving tree, and also backpacks that we fill in with needs for homeless as well, about 1,000 of that.
Wow.
And gift cards, also, and jackets, blankets, non-perishable food items distributed at Christmas time, of course, with a nice reception for them. And then we do the same thing for Easter season as well. Yeah, so that's a big chunk. And then there we have ministries that goes and visit the different camps that distributes basic needs for homeless.
Do you have a fair amount of homeless within the parish boundary?
Well, these are primarily not within the vicinity of Roseville. Mm-hmm. This is primarily around the Sacramento.
Sacramento, yeah.
Sacramento area, and we work with other churches as well. We work like the Gathering Inn, an association of churches, you know, non-Catholics churches, and then we participate in those ministries as well.
Any other ministries you'd like to highlight?
Well, we have a very active, support for grieving, for the loss of their loved ones. We have a huge group of funeral ministries. We have a welcoming committee as well. We have the pro-life group. We have the arts and environment committee that helps decorate the church. Of course, the rest are the liturgical ministries as well, and we have a huge volunteers of trained ministers to visit the sick to bring them communion.
So important.
So as well. And then the priest brings communion to the sick. It's a big chunk of our ministries. And then we turn in over the names of who we visit for our parishioners to bring them communion on a regular basis as well. Right. So Knights of Columbus, a huge ministry, big help. And like I said, social concerns are divided in different segments of ministries. We have groups that are also providing meals for, young, teenagers after school. As well, that's another aspect of this ministry. And we have a group that visits the homeless camp in different areas of Sacramento three times a month. And then we support St. Vincent de Paul, and of course the distribution of other items, the Christmas, Thanksgiving as well, and Easter time.
Yeah, I presume St. Vincent de Paul very active as well there.
Of course, yes. It's not just St. Vincent de Paul. We extend it to more than St. Vincent de Paul as well.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's a very, very active parish. It's just, just visiting the sick, Bob, just visiting is a full-time job for me.
Sure.
I could just focus on visiting the sick and that will be enough. But just, you can imagine two priests with over 6,000 families.
So how does that work? You just get a call from a parishioner saying, can you come out to the home?
Well, we have 24-hour, we have an emergency line 24/7, 24/7. The calls goes directly to our house. We answer that phone, of course, if we are home, 24 hours, 24/7.
Wow.
Yes, and you get all kinds of requests in different ways. We try our best to serve, but at times you can only handle so much. At times we cannot bilocate. I'm learning how to bilocate, so I can.
I thought you could. I've heard stories.
When we're out doing sick calls and the calls comes in and we can't get to the phone right away.
Right.
It's just because sometimes they will call the priest last minute.
Sure.
They'll remember calling the church 5 minutes before the person. That's why I always catechize the people, please don't call your priest 10 minutes or half an hour before your family or friend will need the sacrament. You know, if you think it's a need, call us right away.
Yes.
You know, don't wait, because the sacrament can be given ahead of time. You know, even a week or a few days before. Don't wait last minute. Don't wait 10 minutes, you know. It takes us a while to get to the place.
Sure.
You know, and I have to really educate the people because they're afraid at times. They think it's kind of the last rite that when we show up, the person will die.
Right.
You know, right. So we're here to extend the healing ministry of the church.
Right.
So, and then we do twice a year, we do a communal anointing of the sick.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone have the opportunity to receive the anointing of the sick as well.
Very good.
At all masses, after all masses, primarily in the month of February.
Right. And isn't World Day of the Sick during February as well?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And we do anointing at all masses.
That's wonderful.
All masses. Yes. And then we have also a beautiful, setting in the church where people could come and pray and look at our beautiful surrounding. We have a new meditation garden now. For the first time, we will process in the Holy Thursday. We'll have a procession in the meditation garden called the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful garden surrounded by roses, and we have a life-size bronze statue of Jesus praying in the garden.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. You don't see that too often, you know, of Jesus praying in the garden.
No, and Bob, you want to hear something exciting?
Yes.
When I first started here, I brought a little olive tree because I was able to receive seeds from the Padres at Gethsemane in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a live seed. I planted 10, one survive.
Wow.
So we have one from the same tree that grows so over in Jerusalem, you know, the garden, wow. The Gethsemane, and from the oldest tree there, one survived. It's now planted in our garden.
Wow, that's I'm going to get tears. That's I'm
seven
have to get
seven
out there
years
and
old.
See that
7 years old tree of the olive arbutina. It's the only different one among the other olive trees to be planted that was originated from the mother tree from the Holy Land, the Garden of Gethsemane.
Wow. Does it look like the olive trees we have in the Sacramento diocese? Same kind of olive?
It's our arbutina is the breed. It's the same mother tree there.
Wow.
So, when you come visit, I'll show you, but I try to maintain its hiding because I don't want people to get the
branch of it, Father.
Yeah, and then the next thing you know, the tree is gone. So it's just about my height. But, you know, it's we're taking good care of that. So that's exciting. We're going to be processing around the Garden of Gethsemane this Holy Thursday, expecting about over 1,000 people with candlelights around it, and we'll have a meditation prayer there in the garden, and our church will remain open until midnight.
Wow.
And then, on Holy Thursday.
And then talk a little bit about Good Friday at St. Clair.
Good Friday as well. We'll have a service beginning at noontime for the veneration of the cross and communion service as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so 12 noon, and then Stations of the Cross. I would advise everyone to check our website. Every details of schedules are there, including the Stations of the Cross as well. And of course, they'll culminate on the Saturday Easter Vigil at 8:15 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So
and the timing of that Mass is based on sunset. Is that right?
Of course, yeah. Yep, it's beautiful that people pay attention to the whole entire beauty and power of that liturgy that begins from the creation that progressed all the way to the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, we're talking with Father George Snyder, the pastor at St. Clair Parish in Roseville. Father, we had one of your parishioners on to talk about the sensory-friendly Mass.
Yes, that's another one I forgot about. That.
Just, talk a little bit about that yes. and what the priest's role is in that and how much.
Oh, yes, that's another one.
Yeah.
Just so much. I'm glad that you reminded me of that. We have all this children with special needs. We also include them in our regular prayer to remember their families and make sure that they are part of the community. And for a large parish like us, sometimes when the children are here, it's so hard for them to really stay focused or, you know, with special needs. So we created a mass for them that is sensory friendly, which is all, I'm not an expert of this, but I was given a lot of lesson on how mm-hmm. to do it. And so, in other words, you have to, music is a very kind of low key music, mm-hmm. Not much of bells and all of that, and loud music, not too much lighting as well. So we want to keep their environment more very kind of comfortable, and not too heavy for them. And then the homily, I use props and short and sweet, not mm-hmm. more than 5 minutes, and more conversational with showing them. Elements that are easy to comprehend, and the ones that could participate, they do the readings themselves.
Oh, wow.
As well, they proclaim the word of God, and they're there with their families and parishioners that wants to be there. That's another part of our ministry that I want to really develop almost to be every Sunday.
Wouldn't that be special?
Yes, and everybody could come to us, you know. And of course, we're trying to fit in, and we need to really look into to that. So, with our growing numbers, I'm sure if there's a will, there's a way. We can do it. So we have many, many great volunteers or experts in this field, and of course I'm not an expert, but I'm so happy that they're here to help me learn how to cater to the needs of the special children, including when we don't want to treat them different from any
exactly.
other.
Exactly.
We want them to feel normal. Even confession time, you know, I have this board to show and you know, they do confession as well, but in a different way. I was trained by Mrs. Barassa mm-hmm. of how to do it, and it's all a learning journey for me. But you know, I'm getting to it, and that's another ministry that we have in our parish.
It's such yes. an important ministry, and mm-hmm. we've done a show or two on it, and I'm just fascinated by, I mean, they're all God's children, and you
yes.
hear these stories about people say, we just had to stop bringing their son or their daughter or their, even a spouse to Mass because mm-hmm. it was too difficult for them.
And, yes. Yeah. When I see the parents, my heart breaks. I mean, I can really relate to their challenges. So, yeah, we have this sensory-friendly Mass, and hoping this will come to us on a regular basis.
Very good.
It's not that difficult, because it's actually a very short Mass.
Mm-hmm.
You can't prolong this, you know. And, of course, people love it because it's the shortest homily that they can hear from Father George. Even my mom participated. She said, "I love it. You know, we're done in half an hour."
that's funny. Yeah. I remember my.
But it's I'm sorry, Bob.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
It's done with love. And like I said, we set an environment where they can really pay attention and participate, and not to overwhelm them.
Well, I remember when I was when my kids were in Catholic school, and they would do the at St. James, and they would do the, this years ago, they would go usually on Fridays to Mass, and
yes.
And I remember Father Coffey, Monsignor Coffey, he had something was going on, and he said, "I'm going to have to really shorten this," you know, and he said Mass and celebrated Mass in 18 minutes, and the kids started calling him Instant Coffee.
Yes, so that's another aspect that I want to really promote and work to make it a regular basis, and we can be a diocesan place where we can offer
where people
that.
Can come from and, other parishes.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And then build a good community of them. And our religious education program also caters to these children as well. Mm-hmm. We have this great group of volunteers who are experts on this. So we have a religious education program designed for children with special needs as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. I hope to find when the next one is scheduled and attend myself.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, Father,
and
we've come up against the clock here. The time flies when.
Yes, I'm just so happy. It's my favorite time of the year. I love Easter. I like the Triduum. It's my favorite. I like it because it's a time of reflection, a time of prayer, fasting. Good time also to lose weight. So I told my doctor I'm going to lose weight at the same time and offer it as a fasting aspect. So you have two benefits there, right?
That's very good. Well, it's always a joy to talk with you, Father. And thanks for all you do.
My pleasure.
Yeah. And
my pleasure. You have a wonderful rest of the Triduum.
Yes.
Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Vigil. So I was explaining that to everyone. That's one Mass,
right?
In three events. So anyway, God bless you all.
Thank you so much, Father. God bless you too. That's Father George Snyder, the pastor at St. Clair Parish in Roseville. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. I want to take a minute to talk about the annual Catholic Appeal, the 2024 annual Catholic Appeal. So important here in the Diocese of Sacramento. So many ministries supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, and the people in the Diocese of Sacramento have always been so generous. But a wonderful brochure, a pamphlet, really, that you may have received in the mail, and on the back cover a picture, maybe it's front, I guess that's the front cover, Deacon Kevin Staskow, says, "I really think that everyone has something to give. When Jesus was literally dying on the cross, he found the strength to turn to the thief being crucified next to him and minister to that person. So often we have all kinds of excuses not to reach out to those next to us." Indeed, today you will be with me in paradise. And you look through this brochure, and you will learn the many, many, many ministries that are supported by the annual Catholic Appeal. And 25% of your donation goes back to the parishes for social ministry at your parish. 50% supports charities, Catholic Charities of Sacramento, and the members in that are Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, which serves Butte, Glen, Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, and Trinity counties in this 20-county diocese, and Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services right here in the greater Sacramento area. Also, associate members are Camp Recreation, serving Northern California, the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, the Rancho Cordova Food Locker in greater Sacramento, the Upper Room Dining Hall in Placerville. Many of you have worked at those places, are very familiar with those places, or have availed yourself of the wonderful services they provide. 25% supports education, seminary and formation, and Catholic school tuition assistance. Partners in the annual Catholic Appeal and Catholic Charities of Sacramento include Anderson Cottonwood Christian Assistance, Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home right here in Sacramento that does such wonderful work, the Catholic Ladies Relief Society up in Chico, Community Assistance Network in Greenville, Portola, and Quincy up in the hills, Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento, which just does wonderful work with the homeless, Sacramento Life Center, which has saved so many lives here in the Sacramento area, Salvation Army Food Shelf in Susanville, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their seven district councils, the North State, Placer, Yuba, Sutter, Butte, Sacramento East, South Sacramento, Elk Grove, Sacramento Metro Area, and Yolo Delta and Solano. Also, the Stanford Settlement Neighborhood Center in Sacramento and the Wellsprings Women's Center in Sacramento, plus Yuba City, Yuba Sutter, Right to Life, the two counties just north of Sacramento. More than 100 programs provide things like counseling, emergency fund, shelter and clothing, permanent and transitional housing, job training, pregnancy counseling, post and prenatal care, independent living skills, mentoring, parenting skills, after-school care, refugee resettlement, citizenship and immigration services, and jail ministry. Our gifts help people who are mentally ill, homeless, disaster survivors, immigrants, elderly, developmentally disabled, incarcerated, working families, refugees, at-risk youth, the unborn, pregnant women, the hungry, and single parents. Such a wide, wide range of our Catholic mission here on this earth and in this Diocese of Sacramento. One of the programs through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is the court-appointed special advocate program, which is operated out of all the superior courts in the state of California, and it partners with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service to help kids who need advocates in the courts. They talk about, in this pamphlet, a young woman named Isabel, who is devoted to ensuring a positive support system for foster kids now and for their future. As a court-appointed special advocate, a program administered with compassion and dedication by Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, Isabel gives kids the voice they need in court to have a positive path in life. She was once in foster care herself. The severe trauma a child goes through is all too familiar. Today, she's reunited with her parents, has a family of her own, and is focused on becoming a lawyer. Northern Valley Catholic Social Services gives her the opportunity to advocate in court for children with stories like hers. Again, the annual Catholic Appeal, give generously, give whatever you can, whether it's a small amount, a large amount. Also, more men can say yes to the call to the priesthood. Support from the annual Catholic Appeal helps seminarian Eric Patrick, who is pictured in this brochure, to become Father Eric Patrick this past June. We've had him on our program, a delightful priest. Father Patrick is earnestly hopeful that he can be a conduit for the experience of God's mercy and love. With coughs offset by the appeal, the 12 men now in seminarian formation can focus less on financial worries and more on preparing to serve in our parishes. The annual Catholic Appeal, a wonderful, wonderful way to support so many ministries in the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. on it, my Savior. Both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just.